This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hi folks, Richard Hall here from Stonehenge Aotearoa, and welcome to the night sky. Of course, I've got my boss here as well. Kay, would you like to say hello?
Hello, everybody.
And plus Keith Austin, who's supposed to be here, but I don't know where he is at the moment.
Well, he's here if he wants to be here.
So if he turns up, you'll know it's Keith, okay? But always with this program, we like to thank Dan Broughton from Wairarapa Web Design, who sponsors this particular program. Anyway, getting on to the night sky, most of you probably heard there is a comet in the morning sky. But while this is actually a photograph, look, it's taken with a big camera. It's not very visible to the unaided eye at the moment, but it's going to be going around the sun. I think later on in the month it might be visible, become visible to the naked eye.
Computer modelling says that after it's been around the sun, it will brighten, I think, four times, so that will make it visible without any optical aid.
Right. Yeah.
But, of course, comets have a habit of not doing exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and it's a good idea to go out and see this comet because in case you miss it, do you know how long you've got to wait to see it again, Kay?
No.
80,000 years.
Oh, well, I won't put it in my diary.
Yeah, okay. So it's a pretty big orbit, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It must be right out to
out to the Oort cloud and things
be.
Like that. Yes.
Partway into the Oort cloud, yeah.
Yeah. I was interested, what were people doing 80,000 years ago when it would have been visible?
Yeah. Well, they were...
Stone Age, isn't it?
80,000 years ago. You're talking about beyond the end of the dinosaurs, 20,000 years before the end of the dinosaurs.
No, we're not. 80,000 years ago.
Not millions.
Yeah.
Quite right.
Yeah, no, it would be... Homo sapiens would have been around, but they would have been quite early. Yeah,
they would have been. And they were a lot more advanced than we gave them credit for until very recently.
Yeah. Maybe it's something we should have a discussion about.
Yes, because, the old city they've found now, they reckon, is in Ukraine. It was circular.
Yeah.
And there were rows of houses with spaces which sort of look a bit like roads. Not saying they were, and a space in the middle.
Mm.
And that, I think, predates the ones in the Middle East.
Wow. Yeah. There's all the things about history we think we know, but we don't, eh?
Yes. Yes. It's another good reason for saving Ukraine.
That's right, yeah.
Because of all the really good archaeology there.
That's right, yeah. Anyway, to move on, we talk about coming up is Space Week. This is an international thing. It's going to be held each year.
Yes, it is.
And it runs from Friday, October the 4th to Thursday, October the 10th. So that's, in other words, starting this Friday. And around the world there will be different things on. Of course, naturally at Stonehenge we've got some things happening.
Yes, we've reduced ours down to one day.
Yeah.
So it's the 9th is our big day. And it's going to start, we're going to shut the Henge at 3 o'clock. At 3.30 there'll be a presentation called Spaceship Earth, which is basically looking, we know that if a spaceship goes off into the universe, we've got to have atmosphere and all sorts of things. So let's look at our own Earth as if it was a spaceship. It might simplify some of the things. It would be suitable for adults and children, and it's entirely free. That will be followed by a session with Arrow FM, which I'm talking on at the moment, who will be quizzing anybody who's there, adults, children, me, Keith maybe, Stefan, will be quizzing Richard about all sorts of topics to do with our Earth, its environment, other extraterrestrial worlds, and maybe aliens and stuff, and... That will probably last for another hour, and then if the musicians want to stay, they are welcome to stay for a bit longer. It's entirely up to them.
At this point, we step out. We have got music, live music.
It's be breaking up that, just like we do here sometimes with Keith. And then that night, all of that is free that I've spoken about so far, but that night at 7 o'clock, Richard's giving a presentation called Alien Worlds, The Search for Extraterrestrials, and that's at 7 o'clock. And that is an adult program, but, you know, it's up to you adults if you think your children get something out of that as
I mean, when we talk about children, I think older children would be well up on this sort of thing as well.
That's right, yeah. So they just have to be accompanied by adults, okay?
Yeah. So that's Alien Worlds. So that's all coming up this next week on Wednesday, starting from...
Well, 3 o'clock we close the Henge, 3:30 we start the program.
That's right. And then Alien Worlds will be on at 7 o'clock. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, getting back now to our night sky. Looking to the south, later in the evening, the Southern Cross will be reaching its lowest point in the sky. Okay. And, of course, the Southern Cross, like everything else, moves around the South Celestial Pole. So the Southern Cross is its lowest at the moment. And then after that, it will begin to rise higher and higher in the sky. Now, the big bright star that we can see almost due south at the moment is Canopus. And it is the second brightest star that you can see with the unaided eye. But its distance is 310 light years, so it's certainly not a close star to us, right? And if you could travel out to Canopus, it would be something like this. It's 16,600 times brighter than the Sun, right? And it's a giant star. Once upon a time, not too long ago, it would have been a hot bluish star, but it's now expanded into this yellow giant.
Is it yellow? It really looks quite white.
Yeah, yellow-white in colour. White. Yeah, okay. That's right. Because it's, as it says there, its radius or diameter is 73 times that of the Sun. So it's
the imaginary world around it as lava-covered.
Yeah.
Because it's it would be unlikely to have any life on it. Well, it could, no. I suppose.
No.
Extremophiles, but... nothing like us.
But so obviously you can see that actually the age of Canopus is 33 million years. Now, that might sound a lot to you, but...
It's not much.
As far as stars are concerned, this is an absolute baby. Remember, our Sun's got an age of over 4,500 million years.
Yeah, the bigger they are, the less time they've got.
Yeah, they evolve much more rapidly.
They use up all their fuel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, okay, then near near Canopus, but looking almost due south, we can see the Magellanic Clouds. And you can see these from any dark sky site, and they look like two detached portions of the Milky Way. But, of course, they're nothing to do with the Milky Way in that sense, because what they are is actually satellite galaxies of the Milky Way. Let's bring them up a little bit bigger picture of them. There's the two Magellanic Clouds there. And I've just pulled up the distances of them. The larger of the two clouds is 158,000 light years away. Right? The smaller one is almost 200,000 light years away. And for a long while, we used to think that these were just, you know, raggedy bits that have been gradually being dispersed into the Milky Way, you know, but they've made some discoveries about the stars, looking at the orbits and things like that. So if you have a closer look at the large Magellanic Cloud, here you can see there is definitely some structure. There's a great big bar there, and there's that brilliant region up right, which is the Tarantula Nebula, where masses of new stars are being formed at the moment.
You get that where that's all disrupted,
but
don't
that's
you?
What we think it looked like a little while ago.
Oh, before it got really disrupted by our Milky Way.
It was a small barred spiral galaxy.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what it's all indicating now. And it's actually in the process of being ripped apart by the gravitational pull of our Milky Way.
Of course,
that
produces a lot of stars. You know, because a lot of stars are born out of the disruption of all that gas and dust.
That's right. So when we go back and we looked at the Tarantula Nebula, that big white pinky area there, there's hundreds of stars there which are millions of times brighter than the sun. It's a massive, it's the biggest star forming region in this part of the universe at the moment. And this is undoubtedly due to the tidal effect of the Milky Way galaxy. Yeah. So anyway, that's what it looks like. And how long? How long that's going to occur? Well, it's going to be a few billions of years anyway. I think it's about 400 or 500 million years. It's going to be completely disappear. Now, when talking about galaxies, as I've just put up there, we've got a photograph of the Milky Way. That famous saying, we can't see the forest for the trees, right? And that applies to our Milky Way galaxy. We are embedded in our sun, is one of the millions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. But we're inside the Milky Way, and consequently we can't see it. All we can see is the nearer parts of it, like we're seeing at the moment.
Only looking at two spiral arms, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. Okay, little bits of two spiral arms, not the whole arms.
Yeah, and what we know from measuring out with radio telescopes and that, is the Milky Way is 120,000 light years in diameter, right? So travelling at the speed of light, it takes you 120,000 years to travel from one side of the galaxy to the other, right? Mm. And it contains at least 150,000 million stars. Right? That's what it is. But as you can see, it's actually also looks a little bit like a barred spiral galaxy. In fact, it is. In fact, we always used to think our Milky Way galaxy was just an ordinary spiral galaxy, but it turns out it too is a barred spiral.
That isn't our Milky Way galaxy, though.
No, it's not.
Okay. It's just one that we think looks like ours.
Yeah, now here's a map, what we've managed to map out. And you can see that we call it barred spiral because the nucleus region, instead of being a spherical, is a bar. And the spiral arms jut out from either side of those bars. And you can see there also, I've marked out where the sun is, right? It's in what we call the Orion Spur. And now we can't see, of course, the centre of the Milky Way because we're blocked by the two arms, one in front and one behind us, right? So that's as far as we see. In fact, if I bring it up, there we are. They are 26,000 light years from centre, right? And the little white ring that I've just brought up now, you're looking at all the stars that you can see in the night sky and the Milky Way are all inside that ring, right?
It's just a tiny, tiny little bit, isn't it?
And to see our galaxy properly, we'd have to sort of go up north or south pole before we begin to see the full scale of it, yeah. So when you look at that big, bright, brilliant region of the Milky Way, you're looking towards the Scutum Centaurus arm, but you're not seeing even the nucleus, okay? Now, our Milky Way galaxy is a part of a cluster. You know, we talked about stars often being in clusters of, right? In fact, all stars, when they're formed, are formed in clusters, and eventually the clusters disintegrate. And when we look out beyond the Milky Way, we find other galaxies, and ours is only one of millions of other galaxies. You're looking at a photograph on here at the moment, and there's actually only a small handful of stars in this photograph. It's just been taken by one of the big space telescopes. All those little dots and things that you can see are actually other distant galaxies.
The stars are the ones that look like Christmas stars.
Yes.
It's just caused by the lens, isn't it? It sort of looks like four-pointed cross sort of
right,
on
yeah.
top of them.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, the nearer of the galaxies, you can see the spiral galaxy at the bottom, and then another one to the left of that, which is seen almost edge-on. Yeah. Anyway, the galaxies out there in space, again, are not just distributed at random. For example, we, with our Milky Way galaxy, we're part of a cluster of galaxies which we've named the Local Group, right? And the Local Group actually contains at least 80 galaxies. Now, I say at least 80. Remember, we're actually embedded in the Milky Way galaxy, so there's large regions of intergalactic space we simply cannot see because they lay in the plane of the Milky Way galaxy. And they, so there could be some pretty big galaxies there we can see. Right? And a cluster's got a diameter of 10 million light years. Right? But most of those galaxies, those 80 galaxies, which is the common or garden variety galaxy in the universe, are what we call dwarf galaxies. Now, this is a bit the same as when we look at the stars, right?
Dwarf stars.
Yeah, the most common stars in our Milky Way galaxy are the red dwarfs, right? But not one can be seen with the unaided eye, but they make up about 70% of all the stars out there, right? Yeah. So, now in the local group is actually three large galaxies, which we know of. Number one, our one. Now, I've just pulled up a photograph, and it says M83, and it is indeed a photograph of this spiral galaxy, M83. But I brought that up because that's what astronomers think our galaxy would look like if you could look at it from
that side. So we've got two galaxies that look a bit the same. Yeah. They are slightly different sizes, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. So M83 is a good idea of what our galaxy would look like if you could see it from the outside. Then, in addition to the Milky Way galaxy, we have the M31, which is the great galaxy in Andromeda. Should be pronounced Andromeda, I think. But everyone,
yeah, Andromeda.
Everyone can remember.
Yeah, we had a Greek person in our society, and he corrected all our pronunciation.
Yeah, but if, everyone says Andromeda, but it's actually Andromeda. Now,
well, if you start saying it right, other people might say it right.
And here you can see, when we look at this galaxy, Andromeda, we're seeing it almost edge on. And you can see that it's got two satellite galaxies as well. You can see them there, right?
Yeah.
But unlike the Magellanic
Cluster. Round one and one that looks like a spiral, yeah, maybe.
That's right.
Elliptical sort of shape.
So that's M31. It's actually the biggest. It's about the same size, but a little bit bigger than the Milky Way galaxy. And then the other one we've got is M33, which is the spiral galaxy in Triangulum. It's the smaller of the three, but it's still the third largest that we know of in the local group.
And those names, Triangulum and Andromeda, they're referring to the constellations there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. M33 is in the constellation of Triangulum, and M31 is in Andromeda, okay? That's right. But the interesting thing about M33, you see that as a spiral galaxy, and this is interesting. It's actually got a very small nucleus, but huge spiral arms in which new stars are being formed. It's believed to be quite a young galaxy. Yeah. So there you go. So that's part of the local group. And in turn, the local group is in turn a satellite of a much bigger cluster of galaxies called the Virgo Cluster. And again, as Kay's already suggested, the reason why it's called the Virgo Cluster is it's actually found and centred in the Virgo constellation in the sky. But it's the centre of that galaxy is about 60 million light years away. And the centre of it contains vast numbers of giant galaxies, many of them far, far bigger than the Milky Way.
You need a reasonable telescope for them.
Well, when Virgo comes around, we'll have a bit of exploration with the photographs taken of the great Virgo cluster that we have out there. Okay, well, anyway, turning around now from the south to the north, the Milky Way is out of the way, and we're looking out into that deep space region. But the most notable object, if you can see, is the Great Square. Can you see it there? I'll bring it up there. There it is. That's the Great Square.
Right? It isn't too bad to see once you get used to it.
It's actually conjoined to several constellations, but all astronomers call it the Great Square because it's so easy to pick out. Right? And looking into the sky, you can see above the Great Square there's a brightish star there. Okay, there it is there. Well, it's actually the planet Saturn, the ring planet. Incidentally, the rings now are more almost edge-on at the moment, you know. So.
Which means you can hardly see them, so it just looks like it hasn't got them.
When you see the edge on, they virtually disappear. But you can still see the rings at the moment. Of course, Saturn is the second largest planet.
Yeah. They look less and less fancy.
Yeah. But believe you me, folks, when you first see Saturn in a telescope, it just it looks absolutely unreal, doesn't it? It's so spectacular when you see
it. So different from anything we know.
Yeah. And you're looking at that photograph there, it actually looks like that when you see it in a big telescope, yeah. Yeah. But its appearance will change all the time depending on the orientation. And the other thing, of course, is that, you know, we've got a moon. And how many moons has Saturn got? I think it's 140 or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's got something like 140 moons.
I'm not up with the latest figures because the moons are getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, but you've got one which is Titan, and it's got an atmosphere and it's got seas, but not seas of liquid
water. Yeah, the big moons are phenomenal. Yeah. But
seas of methane.
When they talk about moons, they're getting down to things that are really little.
Right, okay. Now, in addition to that, looking up towards the east, you will see a cluster of stars rising, and that cluster of stars is Matariki.
The Pleiades.
The Pleiades star cluster, right? Mm. And indeed, folks, when you're looking at this panorama of stars, this is exactly what you will be looking at if you got up at dawn at the beginning of the Maori New Year, right? So you will see the Great Square and looking north, and then you will see Matariki rising, okay?
Yeah.
But, of course, as time goes on, it's now rising in the evening sky at the moment, right? And it's a cluster of stars. And people call it the Seven Sisters, and people argue, has it got five? Is there five they can see or seven they can see?
You can see up to 11, can't you, with your unaided eye, depending how good your eyesight
there
is.
There it is, yeah. Yeah, it's a cluster of stars 444 light years away. And I think, here we've got, I've brought it up now. There's actually over 1,000 stars now that we know there, right?
Mm.
The big ones, the ones that you can see with the unaided eye or with a pair of binoculars, these are the giant stars. Remember what we were saying earlier, the common or garden variety of stars are small red dwarfs. These are the giant stars. Each of them is thousands of times, but hundreds or thousands of times brighter than the sun, all right? And it covers a volume of just 41 light years. So if you lived on a planet out there, it'd be pretty amazing. However, I wouldn't suggest you try to go to any of those planets there because, as it points out on the screen there, the age of the Pleiades or Matariki is just 113 million years. Now, again, that sounds like a big number to you, but if you look at our solar system, when the Earth was 113 million years old, it was a molten blob at that stage, wasn't it, Kay?
Mm.
Yeah. And in fact, it's going to take a lot longer for any terrestrial-type planets for them to cool down enough for the rocky surface to begin to appear, right? So when we look at Matariki, just bear in mind that when that was happening, Brontosaurus would have seen that, Matariki forming, because it was formed at the time of the dinosaurs. And indeed, of course, if you were on a planet out there, you looked back at the Earth, you'd see the Earth as it was 113 million years ago. When that's
no, not
dinosaurs.
Its age. You'd see it in its light years, which is 444 light years.
What's that?
You'd see it 400. You'd see Earth 444 years ago.
Yeah.
Not its age.
Yeah, yeah, no, but when, sorry. what we're looking at is if we're seeing it as it were, as the age of the cluster is 113 million years, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you could see it the other way round, of course.
You'd be looking at Earth 444 years ago.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay, so that's the Pleiades in the morning sky. That is the pick. But the easiest thing to look for, first of all, Coates, is that Great Square. Now, coming down from the Great Square, if you look carefully on a nice dark sky, you do need a dark sky, you will see a elliptical patch of light.
You need a very, very clear horizon to see this.
Yeah, binoculars, you can see it more.
No
better.
Clouds.
Now, when
no
you,
haze.
When you look at this, if you can find it, you are seeing the most distant object that you can see in the sky with the unaided eye, the most distant object. And what you are, in fact, looking at is the great galaxy in Andromeda.
Andromeda.
Okay. And Its distance, as is down there, is 2,537 million light years, okay? So we're seeing Andromeda as it was 2.5 million years ago, right, when we're looking at this thing. And that's how far away it is, right? And this is part of our, remember, local group, it's the biggest galaxy. It's roughly the same size, 152,000 light years across, and it contains a trillion stars. And like ours, we're seeing it almost edge on, okay? However, I should point out something to you. Do keep an eye on it, because Andromeda Galaxy is actually heading towards us. And it's moving towards us at 110 kilometers per second. So every second it gets 110 kilometers closer, and it's going to collide with the Milky Way galaxy. It made a quite close approach millions of years ago, but it's coming back now. It's going to crash into us. But however, do not panic. We've worked out the time of collision, all right? And it's going to come out like that. It's due in about 4 billion years from now, okay? So don't worry about it. But it's certainly going to change the night sky as we know it, isn't it, Kay?
It surely will. Be day at night time.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and the chances are that the two galaxies collide and go through, and no stars will actually collide because the distances between stars
are so great. They'll just pass through each other.
But what they reckon is going to happen is that they're going to go backwards and forwards, and they're going to form a single galaxy.
They just keep
a spherical one. Yeah,
yeah. You see them; they kind of look really fascinating. They pass through each other, come round, and have another go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so. Do have a look, see if you can pick that out. As I said, the most distant thing you can see with the unaided eye. Right? Probably if you can see it with binoculars, you'd better pick up after that. Now, just to remind you that we're open Stonehenge from Wednesday to Sunday at the moment from 10 o'clock to 4 p.m. Closed on Mondays and Tuesdays except for private bookings. And we take private bookings at any time. And we do guided tours and things like that. And there's me doing a guided tour for a group of people. It's all the storytelling and the stories from antiquity, which form civilization. And we also make available in the evening Star Treks. But the Star Treks, you have to book them with Kay. Right? And with that, we take you out and we do a presentation, first of all. And then we take you out underneath the stars and pick out and teach you how to identify and find your way around the night sky.
We do our best to try and stay in contact with you because our weather is so unpredictable, so that you get a choice to make your own choice.
Yeah, if the weather doesn't look
good. If we're in doubt at all. Yeah. So we discuss it, and it's up to you if you've booked in and you still want to come, or you think that you'd rather put it off to another night. So we do our best. Sometimes we can't contact people, but if you leave us with your telephone number and your email when you book, it makes it much easier for us to contact
you. We can't control the weather. This is the thing. So,
but we need your email and telephone.
That's right.
So a contact telephone, usually a cell phone, so that we can get in contact with you.
Just finally, before we mark off, if you remember, we're Spaceship Earth. We've got the, starting this week, we've got the International Space Week, right? And Spaceship Earth on Wednesday, October 3rd, starting at 3:30 p.m.
And just another little warning before we go into your thing, is there are nighttime closures for 9 weeks on the Rimutaka. So please look up the, just look up Rimutaka closures and make sure that you're not trying to get back over the Rimutakas when you can't, you've got to wait a long time.
Well, folks, it's time's up now, so we'll
And this is Richard's talk at the 7 p.m. on Wednesday the 9th.
Anyway. All right, okay, we'll catch up you again in a fortnight from now, folks. Have a good evening.
Yep. See you soon.